We shall snap our fingers next to the microphone in 3, 2, 1. We shall appraise the gold and loot we have received in 3, 2, 1. Interesting.
You are listening to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and role-playing gamers.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.
Hello and welcome to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly, well, once every 2 weeks podcast of role-playing games and the people who play role-playing games. My name is Ran Aviram.
My name is Louis Lifshitz. Hello.
And today we are answering an email by Avishai Zarad, who asks us about two things, but we'll only address one. So says Avishai,
good afternoon. It's hard for me to write a good background for my characters. I tend to fall into the trap of writing an overly complicated background that, in retrospective, isn't relevant or doesn't come into play. When I try to avoid it, I write an overly simplistic background that is less enjoyable to me. Do you have any tips on writing a better background story for a character? Also, do you have any advice on how to better portray a character, role-playing-wise? Much love, Avishai.
On a side note, we should mention that we do not know how Avishai sounds like, so this is an estimation of how we think he might sound.
First, I would like to say that we won't be answering the second question, do we have any advice on how to better portray a character? Because it's too big. It's too big. It's a huge question. It's so big that we don't even think we can devote an episode to it. It's just too abstract. It's way better to ask about specific things. I have trouble portraying a character because of this or this, or in this and this situation, or I find that I can't connect with characters who are like this and this. This will be an excellent question for us to address. How to better roleplay a character? Listen to our podcast. We'll talk about it all the time.
Indeed.
Now, I would also like to say that regarding the first question, how to create a better background for yourself, this is, of course, what we'll be discussing today. But also, we've touched on this subject several times before and from very different angles. We talked about avoiding character cliches back in episode 2, and that's an important part of creating an interesting background that will be relevant. We talked about customizing the campaign to the players in episode 19, which is an episode that is mostly for the GM, but actually would be very helpful for any player who wants to create a background that is relevant. We've talked about personal plot lines in episode 21. That's, of course, relevant to your background. We've talked about personalizing your character in episode 23, where we've discussed how to make sure that your character feels like something that is fun for you to play. And we asked, who is an adventurer in episode 50, in which we talked about several interesting things that will actually I'll address again here, like, for example, a very interesting question, when do you begin to play your character? But Uri, how about you start us off?
Well, let me start by saying, Avishai, I know exactly what you mean and how you feel. I, throughout most of my role-playing life, I've been the GM. And because of that, I used to suffer from a very serious condition known as having a GM as a player. Yeah, it's a problem. For those of you who have not encountered this very, very serious and often traumatic experience, let me explain what this condition entails. It means that I, as a player, are acting more like a GM than a player. I create a lot of background story for my character. I create a ton of NPCs relating to my characters. I have heaps of subplots just roaming around the world. And I have many, 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 many pieces of important information about my character, which in fact never comes into play. Why? Because as a GM, I'm used to doing that. I'm used to creating the world around the characters and creating a lot of stuff that will never actually come into play because only some of the things actually come into play. Now, I discover that I don't use any of the things I've mentioned as a player. I don't need all these subplots. I can give the GM a few plot hooks, and that's usually enough. I can have a backstory, but if that backstory doesn't come into play, then it really isn't that relevant. Now, my situation was even more dire, because not only did I not use any of this, oftentimes I would not disclose them to anyone, not to the fellow players, and not to the GM. It got so bad that once in mid-campaign, I told my GM, because she asked me, not because I volunteered any information, God forbid, about the family of my character. And I said, yeah, he had a daughter, but she died. And that's why he's been acting the way he's been acting throughout the campaign. And she was shocked, because she has this whole undercurrent of themes of family and lost loved ones throughout the campaign, and she had no idea how that affected my character, because she did not have information. And that information is something that you as a GM usually have, because you know everything that's happening in the world, mainly in order for you to better tailor the world and adventure to the players and their characters and what's going on. Now, because I haven't disclosed that information, the GM had one hand tied behind her back, so to speak. And more importantly, I, as a player, lost a lot of the fun that I could have had if the fact that something that was so meaningful for my character could have been more in the spotlight. Now, my takeaway from that incident was, If it doesn't come into play during the gaming session, it doesn't exist. Period.
Yes. One would even say that what's not in the game is not in the game.
Yeah, that's an overly simplistic way of looking at that, really. Now, let's look at it from a simple point of view with a concrete example. Sure. During that campaign, we did not encounter any kids. Which was a shame, because that would have been a perfect opportunity for me as a player to manifest that part of my character. Now, what I know today, and I was not aware back then, is that I, as a player, should actively look for ways to insert my character background into the game. And if I would have been playing that game nowadays, I would simply, at the end of an adventure, go to the GM and say, well, listen, we're just dividing the treasure among the party members, so is there an orphanage in town? And if yes, I would like to donate a large sum to that orphanage.
That's you signaling to the GM, right? That this is something that you're looking for.
Not only that, that me blatantly telling the other people, the other players around the table, listen, my character have a soft spot for orphans or kids. And this is something that I can build on. This is something that comes into play, literally. So, and if not, I would still do that. I would find ways to put more information about my character. I would go and I would ask another player, I would ask another character about their family, so that during the ensuing conversation, I could mention my family and the fact that my character has a child that perished.
Sure.
Or every time that there's a downtime of some sort, I could mention that my character is staring at a photo and looking very sad. And if anyone would ask, okay, I go and I look. And I would say, okay, in the photo, there's a young girl looking at the picture. And you can see by the facial resemblance that they are likely to be of the same family. You know, bring it in. Find ways to put your character background into the game.
In the foreground.
Indeed, in the foreground. And if we take this background and foreground thing and look at it more concisely, it's very simple. In the background is everything that it's not on the table. And I mean this literally, on the gaming table where everyone can see it. If it's not there, it's not in the foreground. Consider this. If you are a wizard and on your character sheet it says fireball, but you have never cast a fireball during this gaming session, or any other gaming session, it doesn't influence the other character. Probably some of the players may not know that, and thus it never influenced the game. Now, I strongly advocate that there's nothing wrong with planning ahead, with thinking, how can you insert your background into the game? Make a list, plan a scene, have an idea of how to do that. I can think of four basic ways to bring that information into the game. And I've ordered them in the order of how much I believe it will influence the game. Now, the first way to go about it is simply to make shit up as you go along and try to keep track. You basically start off by, okay, I am a fighter. I have a sword. And as you go through adventures, you say, oh, my character was hit really strong by this troll here. What could this mean? Why did I roll a low number on the dice? I mean, off game, I know it's just probability, but in game, it should have some reasoning. Okay, so maybe I was attacked by trolls years ago and I'm very scared of them right now and, you know, I'm shaking all over and that's why I missed all my rolls because none of them came higher than 5. God damn it with this fucking dice. I'm going to burn them. I'm going to buy a new set. Things will improve. That's option one. Now, option two is to have a basic outline and slowly filling in the blanks. That would be, okay, so I'm a fighter. I come from a small village. Trolls killed all my family and the village, and now I'm looking for revenge. And as you move forward, you start filling in the pieces. When this happened? Where was the village? What was the name of the village? Why did the troll kill off my village? What is the definition of revenge for my character, etc., etc.? Now, number three would be to actually sit down and plan your backstory, but then to also think of the ways it will influence your characters and your story and your actual gaming session. That would be sitting down, okay, I was born in the tiny village of Blackbrook, where I used to apprentice under the, wow, literally all professions in the world just went out of my head. I was an apprentice to the blacksmith, and I had an uncle named Jerry, and I had two pies, which I really loved, pecan pie and squash pie, and these are my favorite pies. And moving on, I decided to go to the neighboring town, get my own blacksmith shop, and then one summer, as I was going back, blah, 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 and then make a list. Okay, whenever we're in a tavern, these are the two pies I love the most. My character is very strong because he was a blacksmith. I am constantly in fear that if I leave a place, I will not go back to it because that's what happened to me one summer. I went back and the entire village was in ruins. So, you see, there's a story. There's character traits that was extracted based on that story. And there's influences of how these character traits will influence the game as we move along. Now, option four, actually sit down with your GM and build that backstory together so you can ingrain your character backstory inside this game world and inside the future plot. For example, we're continuing with the same rolling example. You're saying, okay, I would love to play this fighter from a small village that, you know, got raided by trolls or orcs or whatever, and maybe I was apprenticed to a blacksmith or something, and then the GM could say, oh, well, the north is very wild, and there's plenty of villages just on the cusp of the wilderness, so this would be a great place for your character to start. The traditional foods there are squash and, of course, pecans. And then you say, oh, cool, then probably he would love these two foods, maybe pies made of them, and if he's off for the summer to apprentice somewhere, where would that be? And the GM will say, ah, then probably a short way south from there. There's the city of Ingrain. Ah, cool. Then he must go. And then hopefully the GM being a part of that will say, cool. So now I have an excellent plot hook to put a tribe of trolls somewhere. And I can count on this character to lead the party toward that location. This is an excellent plot hook. Also, I could work in a theme of losing loved ones or leaving places never to return. I know for adventures that I planned, I sometimes plan whole adventure based on one thematic concept, like you can never go back to the same location twice. I had a whole campaign built around that concept that, okay, the characters have reached a village. Once they will leave that village, something horrible will happen that will completely change that village. You can never go to the same place twice. You will never meet the same NPC twice. If you have met that NPC while you were away, something happened that fundamentally changed that NPC. He was brainwashed. He got married. He left town. He is now completely changed his view due to a traumatic event. And this whole campaign based on this one single idea that you can get from your player, from this one simple thing that the player said, now I'm scared of leaving a place because I don't know what will happen when I get back. And doing this with your GM, building the backstory, is an excellent way of both signaling to the GM what you find interesting and what you would like to see in the adventure. But more than that, it makes both his life and your life easier. Because once you have these foundations to build on, you can build your character and the way your character behaves throughout the gaming session on these foundations. And the GM can use these same foundation to build his adventure. And because the foundation are entwined, it would make the effect of the adventure so much stronger for your character and through it for you. Now, I gave those four suggestions of how to go about creating your character and its backstory, but these suggestions are just that. They are suggestions. If you have any ways which works better for you, use them. If you want to take various parts and combine them, for example, to just have a basic template, but talk with the GM about the basic template and not go too much into detail because you want to build your character while playing, that's also amazing. I would urge you to talk with fellow players and create connections between your PCs from before the game actually starts. Oh, cool. Where are you from? Down south? Okay, I'm from up north. Could there be any kind of connection between us? Maybe we both know the same traveling salesman, the same traveling bard that goes every year all the way up north and then down south and spread news and something. And for some reason, he talked with me about your character and with you about my characters. The purpose of a backstory is to back your story so it could advance. Not just to be something you write on the backside of your character sheet. That's for me the meaning of backstory.
I think the best tool that I know of working with all of this that you've just said is something that you've already written. It's called How Uri Plays Consistent Characters. And it's a very simple system in which you write down causes and properties, and it could go anywhere around. I mean, for example, if you want to play a wizard with an elf and really hates cheese, all of these are properties, and then you need to think about the causes. Why A, why B, why C? And causes are, of course, in the background. Now, the reason Uri wrote how Uri plays consistent characters is actually to go forward. It's things that you want to keep consistent about your character as you play her. For when things happen, they become causes and then turn into properties. But again, you can do it the other way around, going back into backgrounds. For me, while I agree with most of what you said, Uri, I think that the main point, at least again, how it works for me is really limiting yourself to something small. I think it could work with many of your paths, probably path one and two best, where you begin with something tiny but detailed. You suggested things like, I come from a village and we'll decide where it is later. And trolls killed my family, but we'll decide who my family is and why they killed them later. I would like to start with some of these details, but not really elaborate on any events that happened around these things. Like, I was in a village. My family was killed. I was taken by the rangers. I grew up with wolves. The end. And I would know several details about each of these things, but I will only have these several things happening in my backstory. And from here, I should be open to expanding what else happened to me that brought me here, and not just what are the details of the things that already happened. I think that everyone should always be open to expanding their character, both forward, because people change, your character change, and backwards. This fact has now always been true. It has always been true that on the road, I met a curious magician that convinced me that I should go and talk to wolves, and therefore I grew up with wolves, etc. But most of all, I think maybe something that should, that can help a lot of people that come to this episode that are now listening to us and are wondering, sure, but how can I make sure that I don't write too much or write too little? I think it's really helpful if you think about your character's story, not as something that already happened and now you are trying to write into your background, but as the thing that you are going to play. So if you want a tale of revenge, if you want a story about a character who goes through this betrayal and then revenge, some people would automatically write down a backstory in which this happens. But I think both of us say it's much better to have a character in your background who you trust and then play the game during which this trusting fellow betrays you and then you seek revenge. Maybe even the trust didn't happen. Maybe even you haven't yet met a person who you trust. Maybe even this is already in your future. And again, that brings me to the question, when during your character life do you begin to play her? Are you playing her after her most glorious event? Probably not. You want to play her most interesting things. That's why we're here. That's what we came to roleplay. So you should probably start somewhere where it's already quite interesting and there are several seeds, but the most interesting things are still in the future. The moment she realizes she actually doesn't want revenge. The moment she realizes that these were her parents all along. Whatever.
This is sort of the roleplay equivalent of show, don't tell. Yes. Play it. Don't just write it on your character sheet.
And that's it. Beyond that, I agree with everything you said, Uri, and I have nothing more to add. So in summary, Uri, is there anything, any other tool that we might be able to provide that is helpful here?
I truly think that the best tool for creating excellent character backstory and an excellent gaming experience is your GM and your fellow players. Work with them. Use that amazing tool that you have. Brainstorm. Accept suggestions. Suggest things for other players. Because they, by all likelihood, know you and how you play and what you enjoy. Maybe more than you do. Because they will oftentimes look at you when you're playing and you're not looking at you because you're busy playing. So use that.
And now, it's time to take some load off.
This world is carried on the shoulders of dwarves.
This is the part of the show in which we talk a bit about role-playing games in our own lives. Uri, have you been role-playing?
Well, I have, Alan. Thank you for asking. I have, and I've actually been paying attention because if you remember, our last episode was about analysis paralysis.
Indeed.
But during that episode, I've also talked about how to present the issue to the group and how to work toward a solution. And what happened in my current Pathfinder game is that during our last session, two sessions ago, we didn't have a good session. We were distracted, we were not focused, and it really showed. Being one of the two frontline fighters of our group, I felt it very directly in the form of a lot of hit points. And one of the players was really annoyed. He actually said, "Listen guys, this has been a terrible session, I did not enjoy it, we were not focused, some of us were stuck in their phones, some of us were... you know, not focused in the game, and etc." And he made a very good point. And what we did was instead of, you know, becoming annoyed, sorry, not instead, after we got annoyed and we calmed down, we thought about it and we talked and we said, okay, next time we're going to try and do it differently. What would make it better? And we had a gaming session a few days ago and it was glorious. I'm hard pressed to find, to remember a game in the last year where we were so focused and so sharp in our decision and tactical decision making. And it kind of went, you know, in the cycle of there was a conflict, we went through a conflict resolution phase, we came out of it with insights and improvements, which lead to amazing ass kicking of our enemies in the next session. It's amazing how much when you work as a cohesive unit, everything becomes better. The tactical aspect, as well as the role-playing aspect, as well as the sheer amount of fun around the table. Up to the point where, you know, one of the party, as he was preparing the food, just placed a piece of meat on a tray, and immediately someone else came and cut it before he even had a chance to say anything. Because when you're in sync, you're in sync, and if your group is not in sync, it's worth taking the time and try to rekindle and reestablish that. Because we tend to forget that, you know, our characters are a group of adventurers working toward their goal. But our players are also a group of people who should be working together toward their common goal of finding the time and effort to have a great game.
True. Yes, indeed. In our group, we had something else. Again, in the tales of Savage Worlds and 50 Fathoms. Again, in the tales of Iran, completely not preparing for the correct session. This time, after last time, our heroes basically murdered a very important person in town. This time they were supposed to sail away and get into some adventures on different islands. But as we started, I just couldn't give it up. They killed someone very important. This is going to have some repercussions. Not necessarily for them. I mean, they can try to just run away, but people will chase them. And actually, the two people who killed that person are of very unusual races and will obviously be pointed out. And so people will be searching for them. And if they won't be able to pick these characters, they will probably, because everyone is bigoted, pick someone else that looks like them and hang them. And it became a whole thing where our players just couldn't leave this alone, and I couldn't leave this alone. And it was tons of fun, yeah, just to make it clear. But it did take most of the session when they eventually managed to spin a story and take control of the narrative and turn it into a frame job over someone else from the council. And it was great. And again, Savage Worlds, brilliant, using, for example, in this case, the quick encounter system, a few rolls, and you just continue on, simulating a few days of political upheaval and just in 5 minutes, and let's just continue with the adventure. And everything was fun and everything was great, and that was me.
That was you.
Indeed. Was this us then? Is this us?
This is us. And this is you listening to this podcast. If you would like to listen to more of this podcast, feel free to go on our website, which
is dwarfcast.net.
You can also find us on Twitter, where our handle is
at Dwarf Podcast.
You can also find us on Facebook. Just go to www.facebook.com/...
Probably Dwarf Podcast again. I'm not sure.
You can also join our Facebook group where we discuss various roleplay-related things.
Actually, there were two excellent questions last week, and we've thought about maybe bringing one of them here to answer it during the episode, but there was no reason to because our listeners provided excellent answers anyway. Just go there and look for it. There was a person asking about finding excuses for his character to stick around because he felt like the character had no reason to continue with the party, and he wanted, of course, to still be a part of the game, so he needed excuses. And there were some amazing answers, though, so go ahead. That's it. I think it's time for us to say goodbye. We do so in our native language. Are you ready, Uri?
I am ready.
Leitraot!
On the Shoulders of Dwarves is shared under Creative Commons by attribution non-commercial 4. Intro and outro are by The Cliché Dio. And you can email us at show@dwarfcast.net.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.